Lord has given us a beautiful day. Let's look this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Praise the Lord for Maranatha. Been a blessing down through the years. You heard of the Lord calling people out of their sin. The Lord called us over here from Worcester, Ohio, years ago. We went to a Bible camp, supposedly a Bible camp. It was a bunch of foolishness, and I told our folks we're not going there again, and providence of God, He led us here to Maranatha, and we used to bring our young people over here every summer. Been a real blessing down through the years. Seemed like once you hear Brother Lucilius preach and teach, you're kind of hooked, amen? And so we've been hooked for a number of years. Been a blessing. Heard a lot of different speakers. Been a real joy. Tonight, or this morning, we want to look in 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to begin there in verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." Now, he'd just been writing about being born again of the Word of God. And when you're born again, you change clothes. Amen? You put off the old man, put on the new man. And that's what he's referring to there in verse 1, verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And we're not only saved by hearing the Word, but we grow as a result of feeding on the Word after we're saved. It says, "If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Notice our sacrifices are acceptable in the Lord. Verse 6, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, were unto also they were appointed." I want to share with you this morning a message entitled "The Preciousness of Christ." The preciousness of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for our Savior, for your amazing grace. And Lord, we thank you for your word, the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Pray now, Lord, you'd take these words and send them forth, accomplish your purpose. We thank you, Lord, for calling us out of our sin and for the grace that you've manifested in our lives. Pray you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. There in verse 7, it says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." It's amazing how the attitude of the believer changes once the Lord quickens his heart and he's born again. You see that with the Saul of Tarsus, and how he hated Christ, hated the church, hated Christians. But when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, which, by the way, was a divine appointment. Amen? the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and changed his heart. And he saw the Lord for who he was, humbled himself before the Lord. This great Pharisee began to shake and tremble, asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord revealed that he is Jesus Christ, and he's the one that he'd been kicking against. His next question was, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" And he got up and did it. And so the Lord becomes precious to those who have trusted him. Now there's much wisdom in this statement concerning the preciousness of the Lord. Here we find assurance that we are true believers in Jesus Christ. Now I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people claim to be saved who really don't have that much love for the Lord. In fact, you can't even get them up and get them to church. They don't spend any time in the Word. And so the Lord's precious to those who have trusted Him. Now, those who find Christ precious have been called out of their sin and they have believed on Him. They have true faith in Him. However, for those who do not love Him, we find there in verses 7 and 8, says, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient." And so there are those who love the Lord, and then there are those who, many of them claim to be religious, but they don't know the Lord. And so the question is, what is your love for the Lord? Is He precious to you this day? And if you've trusted Him by faith, then you can say that He truly is precious to you. Now notice first this morning, Christ is precious to the child of God. Christ is precious to the child of God. As a believer, He is precious, and not only is He precious, but the gospel is precious. In fact, that's the way we come to know the Lord, through hearing and receiving His word. And so to believe the gospel is to believe that there is one God and that there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I was knocking doors here a while back and knocked the door of a young Jehovah's Witness lady, and we were talking to her about the need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, "Well, I believe in Jesus." And she was very adamant. She had believed in Jesus. And of course, she thought, you know, that was sufficient. And so I asked her, I said, "Well, let me ask you, do you believe He's God?" And of course, she didn't. I just simply told her, I said, "You know, you can believe on Jesus, but if you don't believe He's God, you're going to die and go to hell." She said, "Well, I don't believe in hell." I said, "Well, hell is real whether you believe it or not." I asked her about the rich man. Oh, she said, "That's just a parable." I said, "What's the purpose for the parable?" And she just dodged every way. But the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of people who claim to believe Jesus Christ, but they don't believe He's God. And a person can't be saved without believing that Jesus is God. To believe the gospel is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He is Emmanuel, that is, God with us. To believe the gospel is to believe that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the Messiah. The Messiah. He became incarnate, and as the Savior of sinners, has suffered and died in the sinner's place. And so He came literally to provide salvation for sinners like you and me. Now, to believe the gospel is to believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, that He ascended to heaven, and is now seated on the right hand of God in heaven, from which he's coming back as the judge of the world in righteousness. Notice again, Christ is precious to those who have called upon him for salvation. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Jesus Christ is precious to all who have seen themselves as condemned sinners and have laid hold on the Lord as their Savior and their God. Now, to the believer, his value is far above rubies. We find that he is the pearl of great price. It is in Christ as the chief cornerstone that the believer finds peace, joy, hope, and security. Then notice Christ has three outstanding qualities that make him precious. Now, we could name a number of qualities, but there are three outstanding. And for something to be precious, it must be rare. Christ is more rare than gold or precious stones. He is the only Savior of sinners. There is none other. Eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, so loved sinners like you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We find Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. He is the truth about God in heaven. And he is the only way of eternal life. Eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only foundation upon which we can build our lives. Look with me, if you will, in Acts, book of Acts, chapter 4. Here we have Peter's sermon to a bunch of Jews. But here in Acts, chapter 4, notice, if you will, beginning there in verse... let's go back, if you will, Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Here Peter's pointing a finger at these Jews. He says, it was by the very Christ that you crucified that this man is made whole. Declaring the fact that he had not only died for sinners, but that he came forth from the grave on the third day, victorious over sin, over death, over hell. But look at verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You've rejected him, but he's the only way of salvation. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so here is the one sacrifice for sins forever. Look with me, if you will, over in Hebrews chapter 10. Notice Hebrews 10, begin there in verse 12. Hebrews 10, verse 12. Again, speaking of our Lord, says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified or set apart unto Christ. And so he came literally to suffer and die for sinners by his one sacrifice on the cross. Now, as God and man, he alone combines two natures in one person. Look with me, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, but 1 Timothy chapter 2. Do our Catholic friends some good to read these scriptures. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. And the all there speaks of all that the Father had given to him before the foundation of the world. Who gave himself a ransom for all, also for Jew and Gentile alike, to be testified in due time. And so we find that he is the God-man. He is 100% God and 100% man. And you say, well, that's just not possible. Well, with man it's not, but with God it is. And so many people can't figure this glorious fact out with their pea brain, so they just deny that Jesus Christ is God. But folks, he is God. And like I told this Jehovah's Witness lady, in order to be saved, you must believe that he is God. Now, that's the reason the gospel must be preached, because it is through the gospel that the sinner is educated on who God really is, who the Savior is. A lot of people have an opinion of who the Savior is, but it's wrong. And you have to have the right knowledge of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, before you can be saved. And so in order to be saved, a person must believe that Jesus Christ is God. Now that may not seem important to Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and a bunch of other people, but there's no other way to heaven except through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in John's Gospel. This lady, I told our folks, this lady said, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ is God. And I told our folks, and almost got a gasp out of this, but I said, you know, you can't show some people that there's a God, that Jesus Christ is God. And they go, ugh. But that's a fact. Those who are blinded by their sin, and I mentioned the fact that if I was blind this morning and someone took me outside and said, look up at the blue sky, I could look up, but I couldn't see the blue sky. I would have to take their word for the fact that it was blue. Could be green as far as I'm concerned. Well, that's true when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, we have to believe the Bible. And the truth is, you can't make a blind man see. But the only hope that sinner has is he must receive the Word of God. And I tell our folks all the time, I said, you know, we give people what they don't want. And that's the Word of God. That's what they need. And they're never going to be saved apart from hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The sinner must hear the Word of God. He hates it. He doesn't have a taste for it. But it's amazing. Once the Word gets a hold of his heart, like old Saul. You remember Saul of Tarsus held the coats for those that stoned Stephen to death. He hated Christianity. He hated Christ. In fact, he was instrumental in literally scattering the church there at Jerusalem. They went everywhere preaching the word, amen? And he wasn't satisfied with that, so he gets permission to go to Damascus to persecute more Christians, have more put in jail or arrested or even put to death. So he's on his way to Damascus, but something happens to Saul. This is a divine appointment. And the Lord changed his heart. The Lord called him out of his sin. All of a sudden, Christ became precious to him. Now, I believe that all started with Stephen's sermon. Yeah. Stephen preached, and he pointed the finger at those Jews. He says, "You're guilty of crucifying your own Messiah." Man, that caused their blood to boil. But I'll tell you that the Lord used that to literally bring old Saul to see his need of a Savior. And of course, it all took place there on the road to Damascus. But the Lord uses his word. And so we find here, if you look in John's Gospel, John chapter 5, and you can mention this to the Jehovah's Witness people, but, you know, like I said, they're blind, they can't see. But whether they can see it or not, I love to share it with them. Amen? Let them roll their eyes back. I'll tell you, it's the Word of God. And while they're rolling their eyes back, the Lord can speak to their heart. But look here at John chapter 5. And here our Lord got in trouble. Of course, he stayed in trouble, didn't he? They wanted to kill him. I mean, again and again and again, instead of hearing what he had to say. But notice here in John 5, look at verse 18. John 5, 18. "And therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him." Now we're talking about the Lord Jesus. "Because he not only had broken the Sabbath," he healed this man on the Sabbath, "but said also that God was his Father, making himself," what? "Equal with God." Now folks, if the Bible doesn't say Jesus Christ is God, I'm messed up in the head. Because that's the very reason these Jews got so hostile. But look at verse 22. Here the Lord says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Now who's the Son? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." Amen? "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent me." That's pretty clear. You can't honor the Father. In fact, you can't know God the Father apart from God the Son. And if you don't believe He's God, there's no way you're going to know God in heaven. He is the only way to God in heaven. The scripture says he is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. Folks, we can't see God. He's spirit. The only way we can know God is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the visible manifestation of God in heaven. Now look at verse 24, John 5, 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," if you don't believe his word, there's no way you can be saved. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now that's enough to make a Baptist shout. I mean, folks, think about where we were headed. We were condemned. We were sinners. We were without hope. We could have been born over in Afghanistan or somewhere, having never heard the gospel. Yeah. I was raised down the Bible Belt to Texas. I was lost. Spent a lot of time in bars, foul mouth. I had my name on a liberal church roll. I'd been sprinkled. I've been confirmed, but I was living like the devil. It was in California, of all places, in the military, that the Lord saw fit to call me out of my sin. I went to that Baptist church. That preacher preached the gospel, and the Lord got a hold of my heart. And let me tell you, my life's been different ever since. No one had to come to me and say, don't do that, don't do this. Quit your drinking, quit your cussing. Folks, the next Monday morning, I went back to work there with a bunch of GIs, foul-mouthed GIs, and the Lord had changed my heart. And their filthy jokes were no longer funny. It's amazing how the Lord changed my heart. And then when I began to live for the Lord and wouldn't drink with them anymore, they all forsook, you know, and went their way. But the Lord makes the difference. And that comes through the preaching of the Word of God. The sinner must hear the Word of God. And so, Christ has three outstanding qualities. First, our Lord is rare. There's none like Him. He is the only one. He is the only Savior. He is the only one who was God, who became man. Now He is the God-man. But notice, for something to be precious, it must in itself be valuable. Now the world doesn't think a whole lot of our Savior, but He's more precious than anything in this world. And if you know Him, you know that to be true. He is our precious Savior. So who can estimate the value of Christ? He is God over all, and thus the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Like I said before, you can't know God apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what he said to Philip on occasion? Philip said, "Show us God and the Father." And Jesus says, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father." He's the only visible manifestation of God we're going to see this side of heaven. And you either accept Him or you reject Him. But He is unique. He is God. But not only is He God, He is man. He is man. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Then there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took on part of the same." He took on flesh and blood, "that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil." So God became a man in order that He might suffer and die for us. That's it takes faith to believe that. The Creator God, the one who spoke the world into existence, became a babe there in that stable, was laid in the manger, held in His mother's arms, grew and matured, became a man for the express purpose to suffer and die for your sin and mine. Man, that's grace. That's amazing grace. No wonder the songwriter said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. The Lord has given me sight." And my heart goes out to those people who are in dead religion and can't see. And we meet a lot of them out knocking doors there in the Worcester area. But we've given the gospel to a lot of them. My prayer is the Lord will quicken hearts and He'll call these sinners out of their sin. And one day we'll see them come forth knowing the Savior, trusting the Savior. And we haven't seen much of that. I'm a guy, I like to see things happen. But when you can't see it happen, what do? You just believe the Lord. Amen? And the Lord has commissioned us to go. And so we're to go with the gospel. So heaven itself cannot comprehend, cannot really compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is precious. He is precious. And certainly the sinner has really no knowledge of how precious the Lord is. I trust He's precious to you this morning. Now, for something to be precious, it must possess useful and important qualities. The useful qualities of Christ are many, many. His eyes see all and know all. He is the all-knowing God. But folks, He gives sight to the blind. Gives sight to the blind. He gives ears to the deaf. To the deaf. To the lame, He gives healing. He gives the ability to walk. He raises up those who are paralyzed. We see that to the slave, He gives freedom. There was a time when we were all slaves to our sin, dead in trespasses and sins. And He has given us not only life, but freedom. We've been set free. Isn't that good to know? We're not going to get to heaven by our works. Now, as a result of being saved, we certainly ought to serve our Lord. But folks, we've been declared righteous in Christ. And what He did for us, He did 2,000 years ago. And what did He do? God the Father hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we who are sinners might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God has made us righteous, those of us who have trusted Him. He's taken our sin away, and He's given to us perfect righteousness. There's nothing left to condemn a child of God. He has set us free. Set us free. In His life, He gives life to the believer. In His death, He redeems from hell all those who trust in Him. In His resurrection, He justifies believers. And in the prospect of His second coming, believers are delighted. Do you ever get excited about the fact Christ is coming again? Just the thought He could come today. And that, you say, well, I remember telling that to someone just not long ago, and they said, well, we've heard that for years. When the Lord say He was coming? When we least expect Him. I don't believe the world's expecting Christ today, do you? I don't believe our nation's expecting Christ today. I want you to look with me in 1 Corinthians. And we're talking about how precious our Lord is. I mean, not only is He precious, but His promises are precious. We saw that last evening, didn't we? But notice here, if you will, 1 Corinthians. Don't you feel kind of sorry for those who don't believe in the pre-trib, pre-mill coming of Christ? Folks, He could come today. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning there in verse 51. Here Paul, he reminds us of a mystery. Now, mystery is something that had been hidden all down through history. And now it's being revealed. Verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. Praise the Lord for the mysteries in His Word. Amen. That He's revealed to us. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we shall not all die as believers. But we shall all be changed. Now, how is this going to take place? Well, Verse 51 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Isn't that amazing? Those believers that have already died, one day they're going to come forth in perfect bodies, and they're going to be reunited with the Lord. They're going to be with the Lord forever. But not only those who have already died, but those of us who are still alive serving the Lord. I can remember the first time I flew in a B-52. I looked out the window and in the California Valley, it's foggy. You know, you always hear of sunny California. They don't talk about the fog, but there's a lot of fog there in the fall. Anyway, we broke through the fog and, man, there's the clouds. And I'm thinking, man, this is great. What would it be like? I'd just been saved, so I was excited. What would it be like if the Lord called me out of this whole world? Well, we're going to go up, amen, as the Lord went up. We're going to go up through the clouds. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so notice here, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to take place instantly. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Can you imagine being incorruptible? Never having pain, never having a fear of death, never being sorrow, all tears taken away, having that perfect body, never having to walk to the valley of the shadow of death again. What a day that will be. Now, folks, we look forward to those days. That's what, I guess the main thing keeps me going is I serve a sovereign God. And I know He's in charge. Now, I may not always act like it, but I know He's in charge. And that gives me the grace to keep on keeping on. But folks, He's coming again. And when He comes, I want to be serving Him. And I trust that's the way you feel this morning. It's so easy to get caught up in this old world. But folks, the Lord has called us out of our sin. He set us as a light on the hill. And we need to shine for the glory of God. We need to be a testimony. We had some folks call our church last Sunday. Ask when our services were. Well, my wife answered the phone. She told them when the services were, but they never showed up. I received a message over the internet. This family had moved to town, so one of our members and myself, we went to visit this couple, older couple. We got there just as they got home, just one of the providences of God. And the man came out. I told him, we introduced ourselves, told him where we were from, and he said, I just called that church Sunday. He said there was only four cars in the parking lot, and so we went to another church. That's not very encouraging to hear. Our church is small. We preach the word. We've exalted the Lord. We stand true to the Bible doctrines. We don't compromise. And there have been a lot of people that have forsaken us. But I told this man, I said, we may be small. We have some folks that love the Lord. And we preach the word. And if you come, I promise to preach the word to you. And he said, we'll see you Sunday. Now, whether he comes or not, I've been told that before. But folks, we need to keep on keeping on, even in these last days. Satan has told me to quit I don't know how many times. But I looked to the Lord, and the Lord called me from Texas to Worcester, Ohio. He saved me from death in a motorcycle accident. I told the folks the other day, by the grace of God, I'm here. And the Lord called me here for a purpose, and that is to preach the word. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And He's precious. He's precious. And I'm telling you, folks, He's going to be even more precious when we see Him face to face. Thank you.